So you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, and I want to talk to you tonight. The title of my message is, Don't Settle for His Hem, Get Him. So we're going to be reading from Luke 8, verse 40-48. It says, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. Okay, let's start from 41. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, and she was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Verse 45, who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fall to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. And verse 48, daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Hallelujah. I want to just camp right here on verses 41 and 42 for a minute. This guy Jairus, he's a leader of the synagogue, and he's waiting for Jesus to come. There's crowds all over the place. And he's waiting for Jesus, and he approaches Jesus, and he says something like this to him. Jesus, please come. I want you to come. I want you to lay your hand on my daughter, and I want you to heal her so she can live. And it's amazing because it's almost like more of a command than a request, and I'm going somewhere with this. It's almost like he's telling her exactly what he wants. Jairus is saying to Jesus exactly what he wants him to do. And so as Jesus was going to take this journey with Jairus, they went on, and they're moving on to go to touch his daughter, just like Jairus is asking, or maybe commanding. And there's a woman in the crowd that stops Jesus dead in his tracks. And he delayed Jairus' answer to prayer. He delayed. Jesus stopped dead. And all of a sudden, it looked like something was going on. There was movement, and now it's a dead stop. And this is something like maybe you're going through in this room tonight. Like, have you ever been in a situation and you're on your journey with Jesus, or you're moving right along, you prayed through something, God seems like he's answering your prayer, and all of a sudden, it seems like God just stops working in your situation, and now there's a stopping, there's no movement, and it's probably a divine delay. Is anybody in a situation like that right now? I want to tell you tonight, delays are not denials. They are not denials. But God is more interested in you knowing him than answering your prayer. God is more interested in you knowing him than answering your prayer. In these delays, God is working in you a holy desperation for him alone. So God will stop dead in his tracks. He will stop dead even to use somebody else to take you deeper in your faith, you deeper, because this man, he just wanted Jesus to lay his hands on his daughter, and I'm going to get to that later. So God will take you through a process where he will, through that process, reveal himself to you so that you can get to know him and really believe that he's the answer, and then maybe he will answer your prayer, if it's God's will. He will stop dead in his tracks, so the need inside of you will surface to get you to pursue him. His delays cause an intensity for him until he becomes more important and more desired than the thing itself we're asking for. God uses divine delays to break outward religious rituals and create an inward desire for intimacy. And in this process, in this divine delay, It's a divine delay now. It's, you know, sometimes when you don't think God is moving, that's when he's doing his deepest work. Just because you don't see something, it doesn't mean God's not moving. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we get a right perspective and we have a right focus, then we're in line for his blessing. But sometimes through the process, your prayers might change, or you might not have the same request. And that's why it's so important to enjoy that journey of prayer, because God is always working. He doesn't sleep or slumber. So Jairus, he wanted this immediate touch. And he was asking, when you dig this thing out, he was asking Jesus, I want you to lay your hand on my daughter. I want you to touch her so she can live. And it's so amazing, because when you look at this word, when you dig it out, this word healed means it's salvation. So I want you to save her with a temporal healing from damage. He wants like a present experience of God's power that will save his daughter, but never get to the root of her issues. I just want to be relieved. I just lay your hands on her. And it's like he has this predictable prayer, and he's got God now in a box, okay? So don't settle for a surface salvation when God wants to set you free and make you and take you beyond what even you're asking for. You should be serving a God and praying to a God. You know, like, don't go in with a shopping list. Don't be predictable. The Holy Spirit, remember, the wind blows where it will. It's the unpredictability of the Holy Spirit. We know he's there, but it's unpredictable. And sometimes when God hasn't finished doing a deep work in us, we may be asking for things, one, we're not ready for, or two, they're really not good for us. And I don't want to camp here so long, but the word to Jairus was, don't fear, only believe. But Jesus had his own ideas what he wanted to do about his daughter. I mean, he was settling for resuscitation. Jesus wanted to resurrect his daughter. Don't settle for resuscitation in a relationship. Don't settle for resuscitation. Sometimes God needs to throw a death blow to that thing. And so what will rise up, what will resurrect, is that which is only of the spirit. But sometimes God will leave it buried. Amen? And he'll resurrect a brand new thing for you. Okay. So now let's look at Luke 8, 42 to 48, and for time's sake, we're not going to read it. But you see this woman, she had an issue of blood, and according to the law, this rendered her unclean. I mean, she was ceremonial unclean, she was physically unclean. I mean, this woman was going through something, amen? She had something that was draining the life out of her, something that was chronic. I mean, for 12 years, this woman was going through it. Very different than Jairus, who was a leader in a synagogue, an upscale maybe in society, and he had the enjoyment of his daughter for 12 years. While this woman has been suffering, and she's on the outside, it's amazing when you look at this, because according to the law, anything this woman touched would be rendered unclean. Anything anywhere she sat would be unclean. Anyone who touched her would be unclean. Anyone who touched where she sat would be unclean. So she wasn't able to touch or be touched. And she was ceremonial and physically and spiritually unclean. She wouldn't be able to take part in religious services. She wouldn't be able to go to church. She wouldn't be able to do anything. Amen? Is anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. Spiritually, mentally, physically, she's ostracized. She's desperate. She's discouraged. She's going down into a depression, and something is pressing and draining and drawing. Have you ever had that in your life? Where you have to watch out. You have to watch out for the crowd. You have to watch out for voices. You have to watch out for people, for drainers that just want to drain you. They just want to drain you. You have to watch out when you're depressed, who you let around you, who you let speak into your life. Because it's very important to shut down the voices. This woman would have had a violent assault against her mind with voices. her own voice, she would have learned how to shut down. She would have learned how to shut down the voices in the crowd because they would have been screaming unclean. She would have had to learn how to shut down voices in her emotions. Amen? And so this is a constant battle. And you know how weary you can get? When you get weary and you get tired, you begin to have vain imaginations. And stuff gets magnified. Amen? And she should have never been in that crowd. She couldn't even, I mean, the audacity of this woman to be in the crowd. And they said she was in this crowd. She suffered for 12 years. It's a day in and day out situation where literally the life was draining out of her. Can you think of a situation in your life right now? Can you think of something or someone or even an illness that has got you to the point where you're drained? Where even the chronic day in, day out of it has you ostracized. It puts you in a lonely situation. I could relate to some of this stuff in my life. And when you begin to be isolated, when you begin to feel ostracized, there is a loneliness that comes. There is even the voices I could imagine of her own unworthiness or the things that might have been done. She could have been married, and if so, her husband had the right to leave her. So she could have been abandoned. She could have lost and missed out having children. So this was something that wasn't only physically, it was spiritually, it was mentally, it was emotional. The law screams unaccepted and unclean. The law screams that. In Romans 3:21, it says, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with God without keeping the law." We are not under the law. We are under grace. Amen? We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this, you're going to see how Jesus responds to this woman's faith. There was something about this woman's touch. There was something about her thoughts towards God that touched the Lord, that he released power and virtue, that he knew that he was drained. I mean, this woman was getting the life drained out of her, but there's something about her that in her mind, in her heart, she was going to touch him and she was going to drain the life out of him. But his life was the life that she needed. We're made right with God by faith alone. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. People are made right with God when they believe in the sacrifice of Jesus and the shedding of his blood. And this woman, something must have been stirring in her, because she would have heard Christ. She would have seen him. She would have known that, you know, that he was reading. Remember we talked about last week, he was interrupting a thought process of the Pharisees. And all this was in her mind, because when she goes to touch him, you read it in Mark 5, it says, she thought to herself, if I could just touch. And there was something about this woman that was being stirred in the presence of God. And she would have had to push through the crowd. She would have had to press and push and in a violent atmosphere and in a place where she's unclean and unwanted. And yet still, there was something that was stirring inside of her. Just like when you begin to come to Christ, just like when faith starts stirring in you, you don't really want to, you begin to shut down those voices, or you begin to know, if I could just get through to him, if I could just get there, these things are not going to matter anymore. Amen? Amen? So this woman was being drained, and she began to think about, I need this change. I need something to happen. She's like saying, if I could just touch him, I shall be made whole. And what she was saying, I shall be made whole, it's a present experience of God's power to deliver and heal from the bondage of sin. So this woman has something stirring in her, because now faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the word of God. And you hang out long enough in this church and you start seeing people delivered, or you go to the 6 o'clock service and you hear testimony after testimony, there's something that's going to rise up inside of you, and there could be a move of God, and you're going to say, I can be made whole in this minute, because there is a spirit to break every bondage and to heal me from this sin. And God is saying, he's right here with you tonight. Don't miss your moment. See, the power of God was pressing deeper in her heart than what was draining her, was pressing deeper than the crowd. The power of God was finding its mark in her. Faith comes by hearing. It's the meat of the word. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks asunder to soul and spirit. The word is quick. The word is active. It divides. It breaks asunder to soul and spirit. The word is a discerner of the heart right now. If I'm speaking to you and you are in conflict with the word of God is going to come and it's going to be separating and dividing. It could be dividing your thoughts. It could be dividing relationships. It could be dividing maybe one thought pattern, say, oh, that wasn't really right. It could be dividing now the flesh from the spirit, and faith will begin to stir inside of you. The word of God is powerful. There's life and power in the word of God. You can press upon him and you could touch him because he is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. God is touched. I don't know if you really get that. You getting me now? God is touched with the feelings that maybe somebody doesn't validate in your life, the feelings that have been dismissed. God is touched with the feelings of your infirmities, not the good feelings about yourself, the feelings of weakness and frailty, the feelings that tell you unloved, the feelings that tell you unwanted. Those feelings have the ability to touch the heart of Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I start understanding this about the Lord, you know, Luke was so great, and God is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. But Luke laid it out in this gospel how he's the Son of Man. And there's something about the humanness of Jesus that just wants to make me just sit down and relax in his presence. It's so beautiful when you begin to grab this, that he calls us friend. That he calls us friend. He said, I no longer call you servants because the servants don't know what I'm doing. I call you friend. And we're invited to come to this throne of grace because the one who sits on the throne is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews 5:2 says, God is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward because he himself is subject to weakness. Your touch is personal to him, and you're not just a face in the crowd. Your touch is personal. Even right now, he's looking down. He sees all of us. He hears all our prayers, but he zones in. He stoops down and listens, and he gives us quality and quantity time. Your feelings of weakness and uncleanness touches the deepest part of Jesus' heart. What is pressing against you touches him in ways that cause him to want to react and touch you and deliver you, to break every bondage, to break every shackle, to heal all the uncleanness. You know, people wouldn't touch this unclean woman because they were afraid to get unclean and get diseased. But here's Jesus touching and holding and stopping dead in his tracks because his blood and his cleanliness swallows up our uncleanness. You don't have to be afraid to get close to Jesus. You don't have to be afraid to come in your mess, in your weak, in your frailty, in your weakness. If you blew it, there is no condemnation. And you see this woman, and she's such a display of God's love and mercy to us. I can hear Jesus saying, come on, press me, pull from me, drain everything. You could drain the life out of me. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. And he turns around and he stops dead because she starts thinking. I believe this woman, she was around when she saw Jesus correct the pharisaical thoughts. When he started breaking through religious and works and mindsets of unbelief, he would interrupt the Pharisee's thoughts and say, oh, you shouldn't be thinking that way. And I believe she caught this. And something was stirring in her heart, and she knew, like, then she started thinking her thoughts, but her thoughts weren't religious. Her thoughts were fueled by faith. She was like, oh, if I could just touch the hem. She was waiting to be satisfied with just the hem, but I'm telling you, don't settle for the hem. You got to get him. Amen? He says, who touched me? Somebody deliberately touched me. This woman had a thought-provoking touch, and her thoughts were filled with faith, and faith touches the deepest part of God. Without faith, we can't please him. It's not your good works. It's not your long Bible prayers. It's not your studying. It's faith. If tonight there's something, and sometimes you don't go by feelings, because even though he's touched with our feelings, he doesn't want us to be a slave to our feelings. Feelings aren't facts. The word of God is facts. Your feelings matter to him. God validates our feelings. All you have to do is just be in a relationship, and when you really care for somebody and your feelings are dismissed, God's not a God like that. God don't mess around with us like that. He don't play us like that. He's concerned about your feelings, but he's concerned of getting you out of your feelings and out of that unbelief and out of that mindset, and to bring you into something real and something of truth, so he can touch you, so he could do something supernatural in your life. So this faith is stirring in her, and it's her feelings, it's her thoughts, and she's going to the deepest part of God, and his heart is being touched, and he releases a power that stops sin and death's flow. Do you understand what I'm saying? She's getting drained. Sin and death is draining from her, but yet he stops, she touches him, and her touch stops this flow from sin and death. Jesus is a crowd stopper and a sin stopper, and he takes issues with your issue. Hallelujah. Someone deliberately touched me, and I felt healing go and flow from me. Romans 6 says, it tells us that Jesus stops the flow of sin and death at the cross. At the cross, Jesus stops the flow, and he allows himself to be drained from every drop of his blood, so that what's draining you, what's pressing you, what's draining and sucking the life out of you, you can drain Jesus. You can drain him and get his life from you, and instead of death flowing from you, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He stops the flow of sin and death. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. So that, whenever you read something and you see so that, you have to see what's going to go on after that. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power. When you went down in that baptism, Jesus stopped the flow of sin and death. Amen? And when you come up, sin's power source was cut off. That flow, that thought pattern, those things you did that you had no power to say no to, when you go down, baptism in Christ, salvation in Christ, faith in Christ gives you now the power to say no to sin and yes to God. We have to know what Christ has done. It's not enough just to come to church, and we get so blessed because the word is so powerful, and you can see we have a variety of services, but you have to get into this word, and you have to take hold of God's covenant. God the Father and God the Son made a covenant, and he begins to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, and he lays it out. He lays it out in the Bible, and when you're reading the word and you see something that you're not but you want, you just go to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, now you're the agent of that covenant. You're the one that promised with the Father and the Son that you will enable me, that you would empower me, that you would transform me, that you would lead me into truth, and it's, your prayer time now becomes awesome. It becomes new covenant prayer, because your prayer time is not, you're not praying the problem anymore. You're looking to God and you're praying the solution. And as you're praying, the Holy Spirit now is coming, bringing the mind of God to you, helping you pray, leading you into truth, saying, oh, you may be this way, but I'm going to show you things to come. I'm going to show you what you're not and who I see you to be even before you get there. It's an awesome thing when you see it. So Jesus stops this sin and death that drains the life out of us. Now, this woman's struggle, follow me with this, is the struggle to end all struggles. And this you will find in Romans 7. It's the very struggle that you're in. It's the very thing that's draining you. It's the very thing that you think that you can't get the victory over is actually leading you to a place where it's sucking the life out of you so that you cannot do it in your own strength. You will be fully convinced. You'll have no hope to get out of it, to do it, to be delivered in your own strength. So this woman's struggle was convincing her that she can't keep the law. It was impossible. to keep that law that was over this woman's head. And the more she struggled, the more the sin, the law is there. The Lord is good. The law is holy. It teaches us, though, that we can't keep it. The law shows us right from wrong, but we are not slaves to the law anymore. If you are in a situation and there, you know, conviction is different than condemnation. Conviction comes because God in his mercy is drawing you near and he's showing you this is right and this is wrong and this needs to be broken in your life. Condemnation is either from your own voice and of the accuser. The enemy would have to go through Christ to accuse you, even in the midst of your struggle. If you are in Christ, if you are an honest seeker, you are so sincere and so done with sin and sickness, and you have an honest heart, not a divided heart, an honest heart that says, Lord, I love you. Help me to hate this. I love you. I know this is wrong. Help me, Lord. Help me. And I know, Lord, that you're going to empower me to do this. So the struggle could lead you even to intimacy. The struggle could pull you to a place where you understand if anything's going to get done, Jesus is going to have to do it. And it's the mercy of God. And if you are in a struggle and you are finding out, you're saying, oh, yeah, this girl, she's got my address. That's God keeping covenant with you. That's why you don't get convicted. You don't get condemned. Because God is showing you, I'm going to take you to the end of herself. This woman's struggle led her. And she knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that if I don't touch Jesus, nothing, no one can help me. No doctor could help me. She had no more money left. She was spent and she spent all. Amen. And this is a type of coming to the end of ourselves. This is the type of bankruptcy that anything good in us, if we cannot prop it up and give it to God. And when you come to that place, you cry like in Romans 7, oh, wretched man, there's nothing good in me. Who's going to deliver me out of this? Well, thank God for Jesus Christ. The struggle leads you to a place where you begin to understand that this is what was happening to Paul, that God is making a distinction between me and my sin. He makes a distinction because you're under the blood, because you've been graced now. Now, this is not for a game player. This is not for someone that says, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want because there's grace. No, God understands that kind of heart. This is for an honest, so done with sin kind of heart. So the struggle will actually lead you to the end of yourself, even failure. The end result of failure for Christians is supernatural strength. I call it a successful failure, because if your failure leads you to the end of yourself, the end of yourself is the beginning of Christ and supernatural strength. You know you're under the law when you get up in the morning and you say, well, I'm going to do it this way today. Now, I'm going to do it that way. No, you get up in the morning and say, God, I can't do this. I have no strength, but I'm willing. I'm willing. I yield to you. You do the natural. You do the practical. God will do the supernatural. You do the practical. You may need to cut that phone number. You may need to throw this out. Whatever you need to do practically, normally that you could do, God will do the supernatural. And when he sees a heart that desires to be one with him, he honors that. He sends the Holy Spirit. He shows you what's right, what's wrong. He convicts you. He convinces you of his love. And he enables you to get out of it if you want to. Most of the time, when I counsel people, the reason why they really don't get out of it is because they don't want to. You know? They don't want to. But if there's a sincerity in your heart, God will do the supernatural. In Hebrews 10, it says the old system of law, the cleansing power of the new covenant. The old system of law, although the sacrifices were repeated year after year, these sacrifices were never able to provide perfect cleansing. Their feelings of guilt will never go away. Instead, the sacrifices reminded them of their sin. But Jesus offered himself to God as a single sacrifice, once and for all. And by that one sacrifice, he forever made perfect those he is making perfect. I don't know if you catch that. Another way it says, he perfected forever those he is making perfect. So in the state of your imperfection, in the process of your struggle and imperfection, God still sees you as perfect. He sees you in the condition that he desires you to be. And that's what gives us the boldness and the confidence to keep coming into his presence. We come with a sincere heart because of the blood of Jesus, because there's a throne of grace. And even as he is perfecting you, he still calls you perfect in Christ. That to me is good news. It's a touch that moves something in Jesus to give you more than you're willing to settle for. When he says, "Who touched me?" this deliberate, desperate, so done with sin and self woman touched him. And this touch stopped the debt that was draining the life out of her. And she drained the life out of Christ. And it filled her soul. It filled her soul. And he was like, the Bible says she was hidden. We're going to get to that. But he was like, I just felt like, I mean, I always felt Jesus do this to me sometimes, because I just, like, I'm an extremist. So when I came to, I was an extremist when I was in the world. So when I came to Christ, but I think Jesus was saying, where is this woman that touched me? And Peter said, there's so many people in the crowd. Are you kidding me? People are touching you just because by reason that we're in this crowd. They're pressing and pulling and pulling. And he recognized a touch of God with something inside of him that said, I don't want to just feel her touch. I want to see this woman's face. He wanted to give her more than she was settling for. He wanted to finish the work. You know, you could be saved and you could be set free, but God wants to make us whole. The Bible says, I will sanctify you fully, completely, body, soul, and spirit. And this woman was ready to settle. And I think Jairus was watching this because he was ready to settle for resuscitation. And God is wanting to do something more in your life. God is wanting to do something for you more than you can even imagine, more than you can ask or think. And God is saying to you tonight, don't settle for just the touch of my hem. I want you to get me. I want you to get all of me. I want you to touch me so I could touch you, so that I could do something in you and through you. Is anybody hearing me? Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't stop at the hem. Go beyond healing and beyond deliverance to supernatural power. Don't stop at the feet. Get up and get in his face. Amen. Get up and get in his face, because there's something that God has for every person in this room. And even in your frail condition, and I don't know how many of you are here, you're just hurting. You may be crying all week and you think nobody understands. And sometimes nobody does understand. You know, when you're finding that nobody understands, that's God giving you an invitation to show you that he's the only one that could ever, ever, ever fill all that need in you. Fill your soul. Heal your spirit. Amen? And sometimes when people, you know, the text stops or the phone call stops and, you know, you get unfriended, which I don't understand about that. God will never unfriend you. He will never delete you. God keeps you under his covenant, under his blood. He's not an unfriender. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God has more for you, and he wants to take you deeper, and he wants to do something deep inside you and through you. So she gets the touch. He touches her. It's a thought-provoking touch. And then she gets another touch. And this is something that God wants to do to you here tonight. He wants to touch you to get you out of hiding. It said when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, verse 47, she began to tremble and fall to her knees. She's getting ready now to do like a 6 o'clock service. You understand now? Some of you people don't want to do your testimony because you want to stay hidden. I was thinking of that Tuesday night service when Pastor Carter was grabbing everyone, and I could picture people saying, not me, no, no, no. But you know the Lord, the you know, the presence of God was coming, and God was already warning you. And this happened to me once in a prayer meeting. One time we were on a 3-day fast, and I was really hurting, and I was really struggling with situations. And Pastor Carter, he wanted somebody to pray about love. And so I was in the back where the elders sit. I was like almost on the floor. Nobody could see me. I was hidden. And I'm like, there's no way I'm praying for this because my heart is so wrong right now. I am in such pain right now. And all of a sudden, I felt somebody like tap me like this. And I was like, and then I turned around and Pastor Carter's face was like kneeling down like, could you pray? I was like, oh my God. But you know something? In our weakness, God is made strong. Because God knew that he put a prayer in my heart. It wasn't my prayer. And when I prayed, the glory of God fell in that room. And God healed me. And God broke chains. And God touched people. And even Pastor Carter said, the Holy Spirit fell on you. I'm like, that ain't the only thing that fell on me, but that's okay. But don't stay hidden. God has something for you. You have to get in God's face. And you have to have your chiefest desire is to know Jesus, to be known by him, to make him known, to get into his presence and make your call and election sure. That's what should be driving us right now, to know him and to believe that before the foundations of the world, God has a plan for us. And we have to get in contact with him and do the very thing that he called us to do because, you know, each one of you is special and unique and nobody can do what God has called you to do. Amen? You're not just a face in the crowd. Believe me, I am this woman. I could tell you stories. I still go through my phases. You're not just a face in the crowd. Your feelings matter to God. And God is looking for a man and a woman that the very feelings that are driving you insane, the feelings that are taking your breath away, the feelings that are draining you, are touching his heart right now. And you are the very people that God wants to use in these last days. We do not need machine gun Christians that have no work of God that's been done through them. We need Christians that go through some stuff. Listen, I have a chronic illness. And when I get sick and I need to talk to somebody, I don't want to talk to somebody that's never get sick. I don't want to talk to somebody. I don't want to talk to somebody unless they've been through some stuff. You understand? And there's something that you may be going through or went through, like I said last week, that God wants to use mightily. He wants to take you through it. And so it's a touch to come out of hiding, if you will, tonight. God wants to break every power of darkness and everything that causes you to hide. He wants to break everything that silences your testimony. Can I get an amen? Somebody. Amen. That silences your testimony. And he wants you to come out of hiding so you can silence Satan. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Are you hearing me? It's the blood of the Lamb that gives us power to testify. It's the blood of the Lamb that says you're washed, you're cleansed, you're healed, you're lovely, you have access. It's the blood of the Lamb. When you go do your testimony or when you want to minister to somebody, don't look to your weaknesses because those very weaknesses are going to be God's strength for you. Amen? You're dependent on him. No, look to what you are. Forgiven, loved, set free, washed, cleansed, going right to heaven. Amen? It's the blood of the Lamb, the washing and the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So when you get up to that pulpit, if you ever do a 6 o'clock service, you're going up with Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. And it's a duet. It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So she was touched to tell and she was touched to testify. She touched him with her faith and she drew near and pressed in literally until she drew the life out of him. Hallelujah. Now no longer just a face in the crowd, but now she's becoming a message to the crowd. Isn't it amazing? People that were shouting unclean, people that push and pump, people that just suck the life out of you, and all of a sudden God does this supernatural work in you, and now you're ready to tell your story to the very people that were trying to keep you from Jesus. Amen? The very people that hurt you, the very people that abused you. God's doing a supernatural work, and now he's going to touch you so you could tell. Not show and tell, touch and tell, and touch and testify. And I believe that was something in this woman's heart that Jesus heard. Something in this woman's touch that told him, if you touch me And you do whatever you do in me, I will tell people about you. I will testify. And I believe this is what the touch was that turned him about. That she didn't want a common courtesy. She didn't want to just get a hand slap. She didn't just want to be in salvation with lukewarmness. She wanted God to touch her so that she could be made whole, so that she and God could touch other lives. Otherwise, we might as well just go to heaven. Amen. Something about this woman that he knew that she was going to tell. It's her touch told him, when I get you and I know my purpose, I won't stop telling people about you. Give me life, Esther prayed. Give me souls. Give me life. Give me souls. God wants to give you his life so that you can bring his life. You can be agents of forgiveness, agents, and never underestimate a testimony. And don't miss your testimony moment. You could be on the train. You could be at your job. You could be a testimony without even saying anything. When you got people on your job pushing and pulling and draining the life out of you. Anybody? And yet the quiet-like spirit, that quietness, you could be a testimony to your family. You know what? The greatest work is being done in my family right now, and guess what my greatest power is? My greatest weapon is silence. She might have been saying something like this. Listen, I'm pushing through this message. But once that was working in me, and I had some issues, but these issues led me to death and to sin and self. The issues lead you to death, death of sin and death of self. Do you understand? The very thing that's driving you leads you to a place that you die to yourself so that you can lose your life, so that you can live for Christ. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, death is working in me, but life in you. Every time I'm going through something and God's trying to kill something in me, death is working in me, but I could come here and I'm giving life to you. Amen? Because something of Lisa died. Something of self and sin died. And it becomes life then, his life, to someone else. Don't be afraid of what you're going through. Don't be afraid. God is doing something deep in you. Once death was draining me, but now there is a life flowing through me. Once I was just a face in the crowd, pressing in, pressing through. Then I pressed into Jesus, and he brought me through. And now I have life for you. People are pressing my buttons, but life is flowing out of me. Amen? You have any button presses in your life? Let them keep pressing, because sooner or later, Jesus is going to pop out. The Bible says in Philippians, and I'm coming to a close, forgetting those things behind me, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on into the call of Christ. The Bible says he perfected forever those he's making perfect. And Paul said, I'm not perfect in myself. But the one thing, the one who is perfect is perfecting me. And I press on into this truth until it's my own. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm going to touch Jesus until he touches me. I'm going to take hold of Jesus for that which he took hold of me. Until I am gripped and until I am shaped by this thing. Paul says, I'm going to keep on keeping on because I'm kept by the power of God. I'm kept by his love and his cleansing. And I'm forgetting who I used to be and moving forward into what God is making me to be. Sometimes when you're moving forward, you just got to let the past stay in the past. Don't go forward looking backwards. Don't try to look back. Don't be a mirror driver, because the devil will always want to pull you back in your past or keep you stagnated in your present. And like I'm telling you, watch who the crowd is when you're going through this. When God starts moving, when God starts pushing you forward, when God begins to touch you because you're touching his heart, some people get left behind. Amen? You also have to realize your past has no future. The Bible says he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are one. And we are being changed into what Jesus already sees us to be. Amen? And he wants to change us so we can change the world. I'm going to read the scriptures from you. This is from Luke 1. And it's just some of the verses in the covenant that I just took out for you. And I'll close with this. It's the promises of the covenant that were fulfilled in this desperate woman's life. Luke 1, I call this like Mary and Zachariah's spoken word, if there was such a thing in those days. But in verse 48, Mary says, he took notice of my lowly state. Verse 50, he shows mercy to all generations. Verse 51, his mighty arm has done tremendous things. Just remember his touch. Remember his touch. When God touches you, when God touches you, when the touch of God is on you and you are gripped by God, there is a mighty power that you could do mighty things, marvelous things. God is looking for a man and woman that he could touch. God is looking to and fro that he could settle inside of them, that he could pour his spirit out, that he could trust, that he could touch, so that we could touch this generation, so that we could really show people the right way, but not with words and scripture, but by our lives. You know, when you, the touch of God is contagious. And when you have the spirit of God in you and the favor of God on you, people notice. People notice. They'll either come to you with favor or they'll notice and they'll come to you with conflict. Amen? But they're going to notice. Psalm 103 says he forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. Verse 74 says, we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. And verse 77 is my whole point to this whole message. You will tell his people how to find salvation. Let's just say a prayer. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for your presence in this room and for everything that you're doing, Lord, in the hearts of your people. And God, I just ask you for a special touch tonight, Lord, of healing, Lord, that if there's something that's pressing upon your people, Lord, if there's hurt, pain, if there's infirmity, Lord, even sickness and disease, God, Lord, your power is present to heal. Lord, I'm asking you for miracles in this room tonight, Lord. God, I thank you that as you see us, Lord, listening to your word and stretching out our hearts in faith to you, God, Lord, the very feelings, God, the very hope that we're hoping in you is touching you right now, God. And I'm asking you for an evident touch, Lord. I'm asking you for a touch that would transform us, a touch, Lord, that would cause us to testify, a touch that would heal, deliver, and set free. Lord, if anyone in this room is struggling, Lord, I'm asking you, God, that you would break every chain, God, and that you would deliver your people tonight, God. Lord, you came to set the captives free. You said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed us to do good things, Lord, to preach your gospel, Lord. And God, you need a free people to preach the gospel of freedom, God. And I ask you, Lord, for a heaven's exchange, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, God, the oil of joy, God, for mourning, God. Lord, I ask you for freedom, God. I ask you for freedom, God. I ask you, Lord, that everything that held your people down, everything that causes your people to hide, every hurt, every pain, every shame, Lord, I thank you that you came to destroy the works of the enemy, God. And I thank you for what you're doing in this room right now, God. Lord, every battle, God, every torment in the mind, Lord, every emotion, God, that needs healing right now, God, I'm asking you to do what only you could do, Father, that your spirit would fall, that your spirit would fill, Lord, that you would delight to touch us tonight, God, that you would touch us, God, and that you would know, Lord, that power and virtue, power is coming out of you, Lord, and flowing through us, God, and those very things that are draining us, God, Lord, now we reach out to you and we drain the life out of you, we drain your life, God, so that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water, God, and we do believe you for this, Lord. I thank you for everything that you're doing in this room right now. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Show yourself strong and mighty, God. Let not it be just a good class, God. Let it be a lifestyle, God, and that you would stir up giftings, God, and raise them up, God. They would find themselves, God, in testimony moments, God, and the captives will be set free, Lord, that they would be touched right now to tell, touched to testify, God. And Lord, everything that's hidden, God, there's nothing hidden before you, Lord, even the shame of it and the pain of it, God. I thank you that you're breaking it, God. I thank you for the power of your blood and the cleansing power, Lord, even your love, God, that keeps us, God, and for freedom, God, and deliverance in this room right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.